not going to try to be long. We're going to be in the book of Malachi. Malachi, chapter 3. I got to send this to one more person that came to my mind. Amen. Anybody got a testimony? A song? Something they want to share?
Well, dare gain, I will. What's that, Friday? What day of the week is it? Friday? Derek heard our pipe burst in our bedroom. I just thank God it was minor and it could have been really disastrous. Things happen, you know, you have your own house, stuff happens, but I just thank God it was simple. They came out and shut the water off and I'm gonna repair it, and our, you know, damage was very minimal. So I just thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Doing this time.
Yeah, in the cold.
Right, pipe on the bus. That is a blessing. Didn't flood the house or nothing, did it?
Mm-mm. I said, God is good. They could have been a lot worse.
Thank you, Jesus.
He was home. He heard it. He shut it off. I just thank God he was here when it did.
Thank God, good.
Yes, he is.
He knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and he knows the results. And so, God, we thank him. We thank God. How's Pastor doing? Well, I just thank God for being here this morning. Thank God for waking me this morning. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness. I thank God for being great and mighty and awesome in our lives. I do thank God for this season, even though it's snowy, you know, it's cold, bitter cold. We have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be grateful for, because, you know, when this stuff started to happen, I just thought about, Lord, where are those that are homeless? You know, where are they? I just hope every shelter in the city and the county has been open, and I hope it's enough of them. You know, it's just sad to know that there are people out there with no shelter. You know, they may have a tent, they may have clothing, but man, it's unimaginable, you know, to be able to live that in that way. So a lot to be grateful for, you know, health and strength, you know, right mind, you know, the things, you know, even this season, you know, we take these type of things for granted. So I thank God for this season, you know, lets me know that I can rely on him in any type of situation, you know, when it's hot, cold, you know, with or without my essentials, I still can rely on God. And so I just thank him for my wife, my children. Thank God for all of you all. I thank God for just his protection, you know, and his merciful and his mercy. I praise him this morning. I give him glory. I give him all the honor that is due unto him. He is worthy to be praised, worthy to be praised. And I can't praise him, can't stop praising him. I can't praise him enough. David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough. I can't thank him enough. And so when I think of the goodness of God and all that he has done for me, only my soul, my spirit shouts hallelujah. So I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. We don't go to the word. Nobody else got testimony, nothing they want to share. Our God has been good to them. It can be an old testimony. The new ones are coming.
I thank God for just his goodness, mercy, love, all the things in the camp. Thank us for his, especially for his protection. When you
Amen.
mentioned the home, somebody being in the cold, I think they announced that they found three people dead. I don't forget what city it was in, but from the cold. So I thank God for shelter. I thank God
Amen.
for my immediate loved ones and family and friends having shelter. I just it's not a light thing to just to go through skipping through here, and you know, he's just good to us.
Amen.
We got provisions we don't even know we have for real.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I thank and praise him for his goodness, his mercy.
Yes, oh.
Thank you for, like I'll say, thank you for this technology we have today.
Yeah. Amen. May not be in the building, but God makes a way for us to get together, don't He? Makes a way. Let's go to the word this morning. Nobody else had any, have anything to share. We're on Malachi chapter 3 and 2. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. God remains the same. God don't change, you know. We change, but God never changes. It's impossible for God to change. Anybody agree with that? You know, it's his character not to change. It's not in his character to change. And so God is a faithful God, and God wants us to know and understand that he sees and that he is with us. He won't let nothing. He won't let nothing harm us. He won't let nothing take us out. He won't let nothing, any situation, circumstance, he won't allow it to cause you to fall so far away from God that he's not able to pick you back up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you again, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord God, to come together. Lord, we thank and praise you, Father God, for these ones, Father God, who have joined this morning, God. Lord, that we can come together, Lord. Lord, we can't get to the building, Lord, but God, we can get to you in any situation, God, any place, God. Lord, here on the phones and in our homes, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, God, for making all things possible, Lord. And we thank you, God, for always being with us, Lord God. You promised, oh God, and you keep your word, God. You said you will never leave nor forsake us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for always being there, God. We ask that you will look on those, Father God, that are going through this morning, God. We ask that you, God, will comfort, Lord God, the bereaved on this morning, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, Sister Philip, oh God, we pray for her this morning, God, that you will comfort her, Lord God, on the loss of her husband. We pray, Father God, that you meet every need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her, Lord God, where she has been weakened, Father. We pray, God, for Pastor this morning, Lord God. Lord, you continue, God, to make her strong, Lord God. We ask, God, we're still leaning, Father God. We're still leaning on you, God, believing and trusting in you, God, for deliverance, God. And that miracle, Lord God, that we're asking for, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, for those that are sick in their bodies, Lord God. Sick, Father God, in the backs, Lord God. Sick, God, oh God, in the necks, Lord God. God, they're just sick, Lord God. The people, God, the flus, the virus, Lord God. We pray, God, that you will send, Father God, your word of healing this morning, God. Move by your spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. And as we go into this word, Father, we pray, Father God, that you will encourage us, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you will build us up, Lord God. We pray, God, that you will remind us, Lord God, who you are and whose we are. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Starting to verse 1, Malachi, he says, "Behold, I will send a messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall certainly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come," said the Lord of hosts. "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeared? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Malachi is saying, he said, the Lord is coming. He's sure enough gonna come. We know he's gonna come. He came back then, but God has one more coming to complete. He's coming back again after his people. He's coming back this one final time. But he says, "But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeared? For he is like a refiner's fire and like full of soap. Everybody will have to answer this question. Who will abide? Who can abide? Who's going to be able to stand when he comes back? He said, but who may abide in his coming, and who shall stand? This great day of wrath is coming. Well, he says he's like a refiner's fire. Just as an intense fire melts a metal to skim off the impurities. You guys, I don't know if you know what a refiner does. He's like a blacksmith. He heats up metal to get all the impurities off. You know this. He skims them off. It's an intense fire to melt the metal, to bring out the impurities. And God allows the fire to bring hardships, trials, and sufferings and consequences of sins. He allows these things. These things are our fire, okay, to expose, come up in the heart, come to your mind. It is to expose these things, not to shame you, but to burn away the pride, the selfishness, the doubt, the hidden sins, to get rid of all the stuff and leave you with a pure character just like himself. So God allows these tests and these trials to come up on us. It's, you know, some of the trials, they are like fire. You know, they do feel like they are consuming us. You know, sufferings, you know, people falling in sin, you know, and we think God is trying to expose us, but God ain't trying to expose us. He's trying to expose the sin that's in us. He's trying to bring it not out to nobody else. He's trying to bring it to your heart. He's trying to bring it to my mind, you know, so he can deal with these things. So he can get rid of the pride and the selfishness. You know, he can get rid of the doubt. You know, so many people, we doubt God too often on things. You know, we give up too soon. Amen. I don't know about nobody else. I'm not ready to give up. And I ain't doubting God. I don't, and there's nothing too hard for our God. Amen. And it says, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that may offer the Lord, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Malachi is saying that this refiner, he sits, you know, when a refiner sits and he's refining metal, the gold, he can't leave it unattended. He has to man his post. He has to be there to watch, you know, what's going on with this metal. The refiner watches closely so that the fire doesn't destroy the precious metal, gold or the silver. You know, I thought that, you know, silver and gold, no matter how hot it gets, you can't destroy it. But I found out that there's a heat that can destroy anything. Too much heat for silver and too much heat for gold. They say it will vaporize. It will vaporize right before your eyes. And so God is that refiner who sits and he oversees our trials. He oversees our situations, our circumstances. Oversee means to supervise. You know, God is supervising what you're going through right now. God is supervising your test, your trial. He's supervising your pain. God is supervising your downfalls. He's supervising your uprising. God is in control, is all I'm trying to say. We all know the duties of a supervisor. Anybody is a supervisor? Anybody know what a supervisor does? I'm sure we know. If you're not a supervisor and you're working, I know you got a supervisor. It's somebody that you got to report to. The supervisor instructs. He assigns tasks. He provides training, resolving conflict. He set up schedules. He conducts evaluations and ensuring company policies are followed to meet the goals. I don't know about nobody else, but I know that we got a supervisor that does instruct, a supervisor that does provide us training. We're in training right now. God trying to get us ready for that great and terrible day. Amen. We got a supervisor that resolve all our conflicts if we can just trust him. We got a supervisor that sets our schedules for us, if we can just not lean to our own understanding, amen, and just go with his schedule, go with his plan, everything will work out all right. He conducts the evaluation of our tests and trials. God lets you know how you're doing in your test and how you're doing in your trial. In fact, we know ourselves how do we do. You know, we know that we are doing okay when we ain't murmuring and complaining. We know that we're doing okay when we got a song and a praise in our heart. But you know you're not doing okay when you're always complaining about this and you're always complaining about that. Amen. Ensuring not the company policies are followed, but God is ensuring that his policies, his commands, his statutes are being followed, that we can meet the goal that he has for us. Amen. We have a refiner that's watching over us. He's watching over you to ensure that your task, your trial is not exceeding what you can bear. Amen. Anybody feel like they're in a hot trial, like it's too hot for them? But it ain't too hot for you. God is watching over that test. He's watching over that trial. He's making sure that the enemy is not going too far with you. So whatever that you are going through, you can handle it right now. Amen. I don't care where it is, what it is. It can be a sickness. You can handle it because God is, he's ordained it. Amen. Can't nobody, the devil can't do nothing to you unless he has the permission. Amen. He can make it feel like it's too hot, but it ain't too hot. Amen. This is why Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Paul said, "There had no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful." How many know that God is faithful? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. I'm so glad that we got a supervisor, a God that's supervising our trial. He's overseeing everything to make sure that whatever that we're going through, he's faithful. God is faithful. He's aiming for holiness and not to hurt you. God ain't trying to destroy us. God is aiming for what he is. And whatever God aims for, God is going to hit it. He's going to hit the target. Amen. God going to make sure that you meet his criteria. Amen. God is going to make sure that you're going to come up to what you're supposed to be because he has ordained. God is faithful. He never lost a battle in a fight. He never lost a battle in a courtroom, and he won't lose none now. Amen. So God is faithful. So whatever test, whatever trial that you're going through, he said he is faithful. He will not suffer you. He won't put on you more that you can bear. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with that temptation that came, he said he will make a way of escape. And so don't think that you're in the situation that you're in. Don't think that it's going to be forever. If you can just trust God and believe God that he's faithful and that he can and that he will do it, he said he will do it. If you ask, he said, whatever you ask me, I will do it. Amen. So God never
Amen.
lost no battle. He never lost the fight. Not in the courtroom, not on the battlefield. Amen. He ain't finna lose none now. Amen. He won't lose none. He says he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. What is Malachi saying here? And God said he's going to purge them. Amen. In verse 3, that he shall purge the sons of Levi and purge them as silver and as gold, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. So with every trial, every test, every conviction, every time you fall, it becomes that fire in your life that builds the faith and humility and dependency on God. And so what we're going through today, what we're experiencing today is our fire. But this fire ain't come to consume. It comes to build something in you. It comes to build your faith in God. It comes to humility, to humble you. and to get you to depend on God. So God does the purify. Amen. God allows these things to purify. God sees what's inside of us. God knows what's inside. He knows what we're struggling with, what we're dealing with. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with what? He said, it be tried with fire. Your faith is being tried with fire. It's got to be tried with some fire. It's got to be heated up. He said that it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. He said, though your faith be tried with fire, your hardships, your trials, your suffering, the consequences, the pain, even your losses. Amen. Those are the fire. Those are the fires that comes in our life. He said, but it might be found unto praise and honor and glory, that it might be found, that you and your faith might be found, not in ruins, not in despair, not in failure, like the enemy wants you to be found. God, you ain't going to be found like that. He said, you ain't going to be found in failure. You ain't going to be found in despair. You ain't going to be found in ruins. The devil would love to see you down and out. Amen. He loves for your trials to get the best for you, best of you. That's how he wants you to be found. But God wants you to be found in a different way. He said that your faith is going to cause you to be found with praise, with honor, with glorifying God, even all the way until the coming of Christ. So all that you're going through right now, all that we are standing in the midst of right now, your faith going to be found in the praise and the honor and the glory of God. How many know that you got to give God praise in the fire? How many know that you got to give God praise when you're going through, when you feel like you're all alone? You got to give God praise, and you got to honor God. Amen. Not honor him with your mouth. It's easy for us to say, God, we honor you. But show him his honor. We got to show God his honor. Amen. We got to let him know we do honor him with our life. Amen. And give him the glory. Not me, not flesh, not you, but give God all the glory. Because when you come out, not if you come out, when you come out of what you're going through, you're going to give him the glory. You're going to say, it wasn't me. It wasn't the pastor. It wasn't my mama. It wasn't my daddy. It was God and God alone. Amen. It's all God, and it's always will be God. He said, bring unto him a sacrifice of praise. That's what God wants you to do, to sacrifice this praise. Yes, I know we're still waiting on things. We're still waiting on things, and it's been years and years and years, days, months. But God still wants you to sacrifice yourself, sacrifice your body, sacrifice your hurt, sacrifice your weight. Amen. He wants you to sacrifice it with a praise by the fruit of your lips. Amen. God is looking for sacrifice of praise. He wants you to praise him in spite of what you're going through, in spite of how you feel, in spite of what you lost. God's still looking for a sacrifice of praise, because when you sacrifice that praise, when you give yourself up, God gonna raise you up. Amen. When you humble yourself, God gonna exalt you. When you lower yourself, God gonna lift you up. Amen. God is good, and his mercy endure forever. And then he says, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And he said, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and wages, against the widows and the fatherless, who oppress the widows and who oppress the fathers, and turn aside the strangers from his rights. And fear not me. And fear not me, he said the Lord of hosts. God said, look, he going to come with some swift judgment, even on some of his people. We know that the world is going to be judged, but he's talking about his people. He said, I will come near to you. Who is you? He ain't talking about this. He ain't talking about the sinners. God is looking for us. We're the one that's going through the fire. We're this one that's supposed to be living right. Amen. And he said, I will be swift, a swift witness against you, against the sorcerers, against those adulterers, against the people that are oppressing the hirelings, not giving the hirelings what they're supposed to be paid. Amen. He said he's gonna be against those that oppress the widows, oppress the fatherless, and even those, the strangers. He said the rights that the strangers supposed to have, the foreigners God is talking about, how they're putting the people out of the country, you know, without due process. They supposed to have the same rights that we're supposed to have, you know, justice, you know, they due process. And a lot of folk ain't getting their due process. Amen. But God said he's gonna be a swift witness against them. And the only way that you can escape that type of judgment is repent. Turn yourself back to God. Amen. He said, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, I am God. I am the Lord. I won't change. We might change. We're one way one minute and another way the next minute. Amen. We can get wishy-washy at any given moment. You know, at the drop of a hat, we can be wishy-washy. You know, the wind blow a different way. We can get wishy-washy. You know, we can be unstable sometimes. And the Bible lets us know, James lets us know that if we are unstable, amen. You know, an unstable man, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Amen. God is trying to get rid of this wishy-washy attitude, faith that we say we got. God want us to just totally depend upon him. Amen. I mean, completely depend upon. Amen. That's why the trials are hot. That's why they keep coming. They're going to keep coming until he come. Amen. He said, but God says, I am God. I change not. Paul wrote to the Hebrews and he kept it for us unto today. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. That's who Jesus is. That's who God is. He didn't change yesterday. He wasn't changing for them. Amen. He ain't changing today. He ain't gonna change for us. Amen. And he said, and forevermore he won't change. God want us to line up with him. He want us to have the same kind of faith that Jesus had. Jesus had to rely on the Father. He had to call and pray to him. He had to endure suffering. He had to endure the loss. Amen. So God is looking for us to know that he is God and he won't change. Your situation ain't gonna make him change. God will change your situation. And even if your situation don't change, God will change you in your situation. Amen. He'll give you a different outlook about your situation. Amen. But God is able. God is able. He can do anything. God is able to do all things. What he did back then, he's the same God. He didn't do it. He can do it today. And what he's done for others, we know what God has done for other people. We've heard the testimonies. We got look, God left us witnesses. Amen. God says that, you know, when there was no strange God around us, amen. He did wondrous works for us. And we are his witness of what he did. Amen. And so whatever God done for you, I don't care how many years ago, go back and get those testimonies. Those testimonies ain't just for the people back then. The testimonies that God had done for you years ago, months ago, days ago, they're for you too. You got to be reminded what God has done for you. And so he says, what he done for others, he will do for you. He's no respecter person. Amen. Timothy wrote it like this. He said, if we believe not, yet he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't be inconsistent with his character. He's great. He's mighty. His loves never fail. God can't be inconsistent to what he say he is. It don't matter what people say he is, because God, he said, if we don't believe, if they don't believe, he said he abided faithful. He know who he is. He know what he's able to do. He know what he has done, and we know too. We know just as well as he know. He said he can't deny himself. He can't deny his power. He can't deny his character. He can't deny his love. He can't deny his makeup. Amen. We can deny, but God, he can't deny his. He ain't gonna go along with what we say. We got to go along with what he has said. Amen. It is written what God has said, and we just got to stand on the word of God. So he says, if we don't believe, yet he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. Reason why he can't deny himself, because if he denies himself, he'd be lying. And we know that God don't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Amen. James says, look, James 1 and 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We know that. You know, your stranger might give it to you, but we know where it came from. Your neighbor might give it to you, but we know where it came from. Husband and wife might give it a gift, but we know where it came from. We better acknowledge where it came from. Amen. He said, and it come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning or shifting. God don't shift. Amen. God don't have no variableness. Amen. God is just one way. He's God and God all by himself. God has an unchanging nature. Can we say amen? And that God has an unchanging nature. You know, my nature, it changes. Your nature, it'll change. You know, we're one way again, or one minute, and the next time with something. God never does that. God is always who he say he is. Amen. And we better know that he's always who he say he is. The sun and the moon gives off light. Amen. That it will cause a shadow. Now, you know, when the sun is up and it starts to move, your shadow moves. It starts to shift, and it shifts in different directions and positions. You know, if the sun is high noon, it might be to the right. As it goes down, you know, it might go to the left. You know, I don't know how that works, but I know that I've seen my shadow moving. Amen. I know the light makes it move when the light moves. Well, God is the light. And there is no greater light that can cast over him to cast a shadow for him. Amen. There is nothing, there is nobody greater that will cause him to have a shadow. There is nothing bigger than God. And there is nothing that can be so big, bigger than God, to get behind God to cause him to cast a shadow. God causes the shadows. Amen. He causes the shifting, and he causes the changes. He does not change. He is the light of the world. So he caused everything to change. He is greater. There is nobody greater than God. Amen. There is no situation greater. God can change your situation. He can cause it to shift to the left and change to the right. God does the moving. Amen. Nothing moves God but faith. Amen. I said nothing moves God but faith. Can't nothing move God. Ain't no sun big enough. Ain't no moon big enough. Amen. God is over all of his creation. He's over everything. He's over the situation that you in. God is watching your situation to make sure that it don't get out of hand. We feel like sometimes that it's getting out of hand, but God is making sure that it don't get out of hand. That water pipe, it didn't get out of hand. Amen. It could have got out of hand. Yeah, I cut off a lot of water. It could have got out of hand. You know, and it could have flooded the basement. From my understanding, it just got a little spot on the carpet wet. You know, and what kind of logic is that? A busted pipe with that kind of pressure in it. You know, most water pipes, the water that comes in your house, has a high PSI pressure. From 60 even all the way up to 100. And when you get a little hole in something, man, I've seen water shoot in the basement just cause some kind of damage. But God was over that situation. God was over Brittany's and Derek's situation. God is over your situation. Amen. God ain't gonna let the waters come up over you and overtake you. He ain't gonna let the fire burn you. God gonna be in the fire with you. Amen. Matter of fact, God is in the fire before you get there. He's coercing you. Come on in. Don't worry about it. It ain't gonna burn you. That situation ain't gonna overtake you. Amen. So we can walk with confidence. We can walk with confidence in God, knowing that God will bring us through. God will keep us. Amen. Because I know that he will, because he did it before. And he's the same God. Amen. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. That's his word. That's his promise. We can stand on it. Amen. So he causes the shadows. He causes the shifting and the changing. But he does not change. God ain't gonna change for us. Amen. We better come on with it. We may as well say, well, look, hey, God ain't changing for us. You know, you better change and follow him. Amen. That's the only way things gonna get done. We got to do it his way. Y'all remember the old hamburger restaurant, Burger Chef and Jeff? Some of y'all are probably too young to know about Burger Chef and Jeff. Well, Burger Chef and Jeff had this saying, have it your way. You can come in here and have it your way. But God is saying, no, I got to have my way. And we can't have our way. We got to let the, we got to pray and ask God, Lord, let help us to let you have your way. Amen. Do what you do because you God. You do it best, Lord God. When we do things, we mess it up all the time. Then we have to rely on you, God, to get this thing right. We got to rely on God to get what's going on in this world right now. I don't care who get in office. They talking about they ain't got the Democrat to get it. They ain't got the Republican. There is not a man upon earth, amen, that can get this. But that man is going to come back on earth. He's going to get this thing right. He's going to rule with righteousness, amen. He's gonna do what needs to be done, amen. So God, he causes things to change by his word. All he got to do is speak a word. If God speak a word, it's going to change. Amen. It's going to change. All he got to do is say it. And if he said, all we got to do is do it. Amen. Just do what he say. This confirms God's perfection. He cannot improve what is already perfect. You know, as I'm saying, I told somebody the other day, I said, my father used to always tell me, they talking about things, this, you know, they talking about different things, not working and working the way they want. But I was always told, you know, why fix something that's not broken? Leave it alone. Amen. Just let it go. How you going to fix God's word? His word created the heavens and the earth. Amen. The worlds were formed by the word of God, the Bible tells us. He said he can't improve what is already perfect. We can't improve what's already been set in place. All we got to do is go along with it, nor decline. You know, God can't improve who he is already. He's greater. Amen. What? Morific. We got a word out there. God is morific. You know, he's just unimaginable what God can be for us. Amen. You know, we can't even put it into words all the time. But he said he cannot improve what is already perfect, nor decline. He can't decrease, take away from his perfection. Amen. Losing his perfection. Otherwise, it will contradict his whole nature or who he is. Who is he to you? My question is today. Does God change in your life or have you changed on God? Well, I've changed on God several times, but I thank God that he remained the same. He remained faithful. God didn't treat me as my sins deserve to be treated. Amen. God don't treat us as our sins deserve to be treated. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. We've come short, but God has made a way for us. His perfect nature. He said he will promise never to leave nor forsake. His mercy endured forever. Amen. God's mercy is always enduring. He loved you with an everlasting love. So when you find yourself not doing what you're supposed to do, God still loves you. Amen. God still loves you. That's why you can trust in him and be sure that the gifts of God are consistently good. Amen. And they will consistently flow to them that trust him. You know, that's why he said he don't change. God is consistently. He's consistently concerned about why we ain't prospering. God is concerned about that. He's concerned about why we ain't got our miracle. God is concerned about why we ain't got our healing. He's looking for to give the miracles. Amen. He's looking to give us signs. Oh God. Hey man. That's why you can't trust in this government or in this world, in instability, where there is always what? Constant change. Every day is something new. You know, there's always a constant change in this world, in the government, where you can't rely on nothing or nobody. My son was talking to somebody at the job the other day. He called me and he asked me what I was doing. And the Lord told me right then that not to say anything, just listen. And so he didn't say nothing for a while, and I didn't say nothing for a while. I said, Lord, I'm doing what you say do, because he called me for a reason, but I didn't know the reason. Amen. I didn't know why he called me. But then he began to tell me how he stayed out late working to 7 in the morning. I said, really? I said, well, something's going on at work. He said, yeah, but it wasn't such and such. He said, but I was there 2 or 3 hours talking to this guy, a coworker of mine. I said, really? That's what y'all talking about? He said, you know, he was talking to me and others. In other words, he was being a witness for Christ. He was asking me, was he saved? And I said, Lord, to myself, I said, Lord, this is the third or fourth person on his job that come to him and ask him about salvation and, you know, talking to him about the Lord. And he said, well, we were there 3 hours. And I thought to myself, I didn't say anything. I thought to myself, he stayed 3 hours after work, listening to somebody to witness to him about Christ. And I just thought to myself, God, you doing what you told me you was going to do. You're going to save our sons and daughters. God got a remnant out there. God got people that's going to speak up. Not that you ain't speaking up on your behalf, but sometimes we know that a prophet is not received of his own. It's hard for somebody to listen to you in your own house. They'd rather listen to a stranger. But Lord, if they got to listen to a stranger, let them listen to a stranger. Amen. They're going to listen to somebody. God got a remnant out there that's going to be a witness for him. And so this young man began to witness to my son about Jesus. And my son said, I believe in God. He said, I sure enough believe in God. And he said, I told him about my testimony, about how he lost his life and how God redeemed him, how God brought him back and gave him another chance. And he said, I began to tell him that I believe in God, but what I don't understand and what I don't believe is man. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, he was quoting so many different scriptures, but he didn't know it, you know. And we know that God tells us in the word that we ought not to trust, have our trust, put our confidence in man, which is flesh, amen, but to have our confidence in God. And I said, you're right. We're not supposed to be having our confidence, putting our trust in man. He said, I told him, I believe in God. I know I believe in God. He said, but I don't understand why God, who is so good, this is my son talking about how good God is. And boy, I was just elated. I was just ecstatic about that. I said, Lord, this young man, I called him by name. I said, Lord, bless him. Bless him and keep using him. He said, what I don't understand, my son said, I don't understand is why, how God is so good, he allows flawed man to touch this book, to write this book. And I said, well, son, well, every man is flawed. I said, it just lets us know that we need somebody that's unflawed to get rid of our flaws. Amen. I said, everybody that writes a book, everybody that has written a book has been flawed and is flawed. But they had some kind of inspiration. And it wasn't their own inspiration. God can give them inspiration. They got inspiration from somewhere to write down what came to their mind. And these men that wrote this Bible, they had something come to their mind, which was the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them, instruct them what to write. I said, every man is flawed. I said, son, you're talking to a flawed father. Your father is flawed. He's got all kind of things that's not right with him. I said, but I'm so glad that I serve a God that when he look at me at the end, he don't see a flawed individual. He sees somebody complete and made whole. I said, this is the reason why that Jesus came. I said, believing God is good, but there's a problem with that. A lot of people believe God, but they don't believe in his provision. They don't believe in Jesus. God provided his son as a sacrifice that we might have life and have it more and have it more abundantly. A lot of people don't believe that Jesus is the one. And that's where the flaw is. That's the flaw. You must be born again, and you got to believe that Jesus is the one that came to make you unflawed. Amen. And so we are not to believe, we are not to rely on anybody else but God. He is the only one that won't fail us. Amen. Can I get a witness that God is the only one? Jesus is the only one that won't ever fail you. The song says it better. He will never fail. He will never, ever fail. God has never failed. Even though we have not received some of the prayers that we've been asking for, I believe God answered those prayers with maybes. Not maybes, but I believe God answered those prayers with not yet or no. We can't always get a yes. Amen. Because everything that we ask for must not be good for us, must not be the time for it right now. Amen. So
Amen.
God answered prayers. He answered prayer. I've been asking God to save my children. I've been asking God for an increase here and an increase there. I've been asking God for a decrease there and decrease here, but I haven't received them yet. But I know that they're on the way because I know that God never fails. Amen. God won't fail you today, people of God. God has not failed you. He won't ever fail you. And this is why he said, he told Israel in verse 6, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Therefore, you sons of God, you daughters of God, are not consumed. This is why God don't consume us. God says the same to you this morning. This is why you ain't being consumed, because God loves you so much, and he promised not to ever, ever, never turn his love away from you. This is why you're not consumed. This is why you're not destroyed. This is why you're still here. This is why you're still here in the fire, being made, amen, to bring forth his praise, his honor, and his glory. This is why God not, because he's faithful God. He said he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God promised that nobody else, not even yourself, can separate you from the love of God. He loves you that much. It is of the Lord's mercy, the Bible says, that we are not consumed, because his compassion, his love fails not toward you. He says, for I am the Lord, I change not. People of God, just trust in God. He said he won't change. He can't change. And so if God can't change, he's waiting for us to just hold on. He's waiting. And we say we're waiting for God. God waiting for us too. He said he's waiting for the precious fruit, the fruit of the spirits. That patience, that love, that faith, meekness. God is waiting for these things to mature in us. And all that you're going through, all that you're enduring, thank God that you are enduring it, that it has not consumed you. You ought to be glad about that, that you are enduring. You know, a lot of folk didn't endure, but you are yet enduring. You know, for that we give God praise, glory, and honor. Amen. He said, for I am God. I change not. How many know God can't change and he won't change? But God gonna change you. He gonna change. May not change your situation, but God is working inside of you. He wants you to change. He wants me to change. And I'm asking God and praying, God, Lord, change me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew, God, the right spirit within me.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Just trust my word, as God is saying. One last scripture, and I'm going to let you go. Isaiah 40 and 8. The grass withers and the flowers, they do fade. Amen. But the word of our God shall stand forever. He remains the same. God bless you on this morning. I pray you'll strengthen the Lord. I pray that we all can move a little closer to him. And I believe when we move, be able to move a little closer to him, we'll see some changing. I believe we'll see changing in our lives, changing in our children's lives. It's just not us, you know. It's our children, it's our neighbors, you know. God wants to change the situation that we're in, and it can be changed. God bless you this morning. Love you.
Amen.
This morning, remember, we're going to start our fast on Wednesday. You know, 10-day fast. 10-day, you know, call a Daniel fast. You know, I know Daniel fasted 21 days, but that was they got, you know, Daniel put away some things too in the beginning of the book. And I believe the 10 days when God spoke it to me, you know, is what we need. Is he said completeness. That's what 10 mean, completeness and new beginnings. I don't know about nobody else. I need a fresh start. I need a new start. And that's what I'm going to be seeking God for. A new consecration, a new dedication, a new start. You know, new wine. You know, with new wine comes a new bottle, because you can't put old new wine in the old bottle. And so we're going to do this 10-day fast of starting Wednesday, take us to February the 6th, I believe it says, Friday. And no sweet drinks, nothing, you know. Well, you know, pleasant food. Daniel said he ate no pleasant food. Today, pleasant food can be just about anything. You know, a lot of people love to eat different things. I'll put it like that. But whatever the things that you're desiring, you know, the sweets that we crave. Most time it's the things that are not good for us. We might have to put it like that. Things that's not good for you. Let's try to put them away. And whatever you come into a covenant with God about your fast, honor that fast. And I believe God will honor what you've done for him. It's like I say, it's not the food. We're going to be looking, you know, at the food. We're going to be looking at being faithful. Get you a time daily and pray, seek God. I know you pray all the time. You pray in your car, you pray at work, you pray walking around your house. Dedicate a time. And I bet you when you dedicate this time, something gonna try to pull you from your dedication. And so stick with it and God will bless you.
So we fast Friday all day. This is an all-day fast. The Friday we fast too. So midnight after Friday is over.
If y'all hear that, you know, it's all day fast, but you know, it's a partial fast. You can eat the foods that you want to eat, you know, but doing this fast, you know, let us do it in moderation too. And let this be all about our mind stayed on Jesus, you know, us seeking him. You know, if I've eaten, you know, that certain time, if I get this crave, I want it to be the word or prayer or seeking God. Follow what I'm saying? Not another dish. Not another snack. You know, I want to chasten this body, this flesh. I want to see what God would do. You know. So there's nothing else. I sent out the text. Remember Tasha. Remember Tasha. Keep on your prayers. She's really going through. Her mom has been diagnosed with stage two cancer, and she's weeping, and she's sorrowful, in sorrow over a relationship. And so we're trying to keep her encouraged, keep her coming, but just keep her uplifting. Remember Sister Selena, remember Sister Flippo. Let us remember one another. We still love one another. We still bring each other to the throne of grace.